Hey, everybody, welcome to Hammer Down. I'm your host, Mike Bush, and this is on the Market Scale Network, where they are nice enough to pull this podcast together and make it fabulous for me. So 2 weeks ago, I got to be honest, my family just, I think we all know the Futurama meme of the guy saying, shut up and take my money. It was Amazon Prime Day 2 weeks ago, and my household is very much in the shut up and take my money mode. And the reason I'm touching on Amazon is because, quite frankly, that company has spoiled consumers across the board. We've gotten used to two-day delivery, then one-day delivery, then same-day delivery. And on Amazon Prime Day, which Amazon sold $14 billion worth of stuff, is a number I just saw, a lot of next-day and same-day delivery happens. But not every company sells through Amazon. My next guest is out there trying to create the Amazon experience for companies that don't necessarily want to work with Amazon. His name is Bill Catania. He is the founder and CEO of OneRail. Bill, welcome to the show, man.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate having me today.
Oh, pleasure. So let's get right into it. Tell me a little bit about OneRail.
I think you just said it. You know, we take this whole ecosystem of retailers and wholesalers, and not surprisingly, product wholesalers are in a similar boat, that want to offer an Amazon-like experience. And it's very difficult to do. You have to have the right inventory in the right place at the right time. You have to have transportation, technology to make all those decisions. And what we've done, I think, really well is we've crowdsourced large retailers like Lowe's Home Improvement, Advance Auto Parts, Tractor Supply, into one massive pool of demand. And we're providing that solution, the technology, the network, and the support to make that happen. So we're real proud of that. You know, we have a team based in Orlando, and that's the problem we're focused on.
That's so cool. And so if I've got it right, basically, instead of saying, hey, we're going to do delivery for Lowe's, you're saying, by keeping drivers on the road doing home delivery for multiple customers, basically you're able to batch interesting loads or interesting deliveries and make it so that you're able to go pick up at multiple stores, drop off at multiple stores. You're not doing the thing where one driver goes to a store like DoorDash and goes to, you know, a home. You're cutting down on the empty miles. You're doing all the things truckers care about, right? Like, we're killing off deadhead. We're eliminating unnecessary emissions, all that. Is that the idea here?
We're doing whatever it takes to execute the customer promise. So if you think about a more efficient delivery, right, you're going to see that, call it commingling and batching of multiple orders that could be crowdsourced from a number of different retailers. It could be, if it's a same day, anytime promise, that we can hold all the orders, batch them into one route instead of sending hotshots. So that's another big efficiency that we offer. Not only can our solution hold back those orders and batch, you know, it would have been 10 hot shots into one 10-stop route. But we also can execute the hot shot, and we do. We do a number of super time-sensitive auto parts deliveries a day, from Advance Auto Parts to dealerships and repair centers. We do the same thing for American Tire distributors. If you only have 30 minutes to get it there, it's hard to hold enough orders, or it's hard to stop and pick up more inventory. So it really, for us, it comes down to doing what our customers need to do, giving them the tool set to deliver as fast or slow and really just on promise with what the customer needs. And that's how we go to market.
I love everything you just said. You're basically the delivery network for the company that needs the most flexibility. And that's awesome. How on earth did you come up with this, man? I mean, the heavy lift here.
Well, one thing we all have in common is we're all customers, we're all consumers. And for me, I started this journey as a consumer that wanted to buy a refrigerator. I went to the store that was offering free delivery. And like a lot of customers, in my head, free delivery meant today delivery. And it didn't mean that to them. They told me it would be a 10-day period of time I had to wait to get that refrigerator that was sitting right in the store. So that was where it all stopped for me. I stopped everything I was working on, and it's been a long journey since. So it started as an unhappy customer.
Gotcha. So now on the, I'm gonna batch this together, right? Because you're operating a marketplace, mm-hmm. selling the movement of goods. On one side, you've got companies with goods to ship, and on the other side, you've got the delivery network.
Yeah.
Where did you start in building this? Because I imagine the challenge for you is, you can't bring lots of delivery drivers on unless you've got volume, and you can't bring on volume unless you've got lots of deliveries that need to happen. Am I right there?
Yeah, you're spot on. A lot of people don't understand that dynamic, but you certainly do. And, you know, I'd like to say it's probably a superpower of mine. You know, I've had a couple companies where I've done that. You know, the last business I did that was in the digital coupon space. If you've ever used those digital coupons, you can clip them on a retailer website if you're going grocery shopping, or get them from a mobile app. Similar play, you know, we aggregated the entire ecosystem of digital coupons, and we were the first company to connect it to the cloud to redeem it at the point of sale when customers check out. So if you ever go to Publix, ask for your phone number, that's my tech. It's in about 70% of grocery chains today. And it was the same play. You know, you go to the retailer and say, hey, we're aggregating all these coupons. And they say, well, how are you going to do it? And it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy if they just believe it, right? So there's a little bit of reality distortion to shoot you straight. You know, you have to sort of bend the market. And that's what I did here. You know, we had an early enterprise customer that expressed a lot of interest. You know, at the same time, you're having conversations with couriers and you sort of just make it happen. And there's no textbook that will ever teach you that. I call it bending supply and demand.
When you spoke a little about working with couriers, so on the delivery team side of that market, is it predominantly couriers you're working with? Is it trucking companies you're working with? Or is it very much the DoorDash model where you're like, listen, anybody with a car can roll into to a store and pick up for us?
Yeah. So we started this journey, you know, at the very beginning as a tech connected courier. So we were a courier. We went out, we recruited drivers that had their own pickup trucks, SUVs, mostly big and bulky type assets, and box trucks too. We totally changed that model in 2019. And where we pivoted was we felt like there was a lot of good couriers out there that were building local delivery networks. We felt like we didn't need to out-courier them. We felt like what we needed to do is connect them with demand better and in a way that they could get more volume that they normally wouldn't get. So we work with delivery companies, notably couriers that are doing localized delivery. We do work with trucking companies. We do a good bit of LTL in terms of, you know, both middle mile and last mile. And, you know, last mile doesn't know one mode. It knows all modes. You know, we see it all. And that's part of what our solution does. It actually will pick LTL versus courier versus parcel. So that's part of the decisioning the software does.
Okay, gotcha. And one other question for you here. So obviously, when it comes to inventory management and knowing, you know, where goods are, et cetera, how are you getting the information? Is it just, you know, Lowe says, Bill, we need you to pick up, you know, this hammer and deliver it? Or are you plugging into the inventory systems and, you know, going from warehouse direct as opposed to storefront?
Yeah. So both. First of all, we just acquired a solution called OrderBot. It's a inventory and order management solution. And there's a big reason we did that. And it was to really be a participant in that decisioning of where to pick from. What we find is the way to answer your question, we get an order fed to us today from an order management system or an e-com platform, middleware, and we decision on that. And at that point, though, the location in which to pick it from has already been decided. The reason we bought OrderBot was we want our customers to send us all the locations in a geo pool, so let's say Dallas, that have the specific inventory to fill the order, and then we will use our transportation decisioning to pick the right store to fulfill that from. So it minimizes out of stocks, cart abandonment, split orders where there's two shipments going for the same order. So that's why we bought OrderBot. But just to answer your question further, we also have an inventory visibility product, which we launched a few months ago. And the purpose of that was to help on shrinkage. When product is in motion, the way we get that, it's fed to us from the shipper. So we know a specific transportation record has a specific set of inventory, totes, bins, eaches, you know, to a pallet. And what we're doing is we're tracking the transportation record that's stitched together with the inventory record. And then we're also capturing the scan data. So think of that as debits and credits out of a warehouse or a store. So we're stitching together a few unique sources of data that typically aren't stitched together. And we're doing that right at an item level all the way up through to a pallet level.
This is so cool, man. Like when at home delivery world this year, the big talk was that lots of shippers are trying to do, you know, use their storefront as their warehouse for home delivery. And I know, yeah. As far as I know, Macy's was the first to try that. And then Macy's is now getting out of it. And everybody else is following suit to say, we're going to give it a shot too. Your answer seems to be, it can be storefront or warehouse, depending mm-hmm. on what's best. And that's unique as can be, man. That's really cool.
Yeah, we think of it as being node agnostic and mode agnostic. You should not be tethered to a specific mode or node. So if you believe that, then that means you're making dynamic decisions that are optimized around speed and cost and quality. And that's really that's the only way to get efficient. If you think about the legacy stack, it's like handing off a baton. You know, the PIM system hands off information to the inventory system, hands off information to the order system, does that to the TMS. And the problem is sometimes you need non-linear decision making. Sometimes you need to go backwards and forwards in real time to figure out what the right decision is. And that's not how sort of that legacy stack works. So it's an interesting problem to solve.
It's a tremendous problem, man. I of course, stalked you on LinkedIn before you joined. I haven't made any Andy Bernard Cornell University jokes yet. Those are coming. But nice. I mean, two weeks ago, Justin Liu was on the show. Justin over at Truckpedia, you might know him. He's a great guy, and yeah. You know, he was Forbes 30 Under 30, and we talked a little bit about the fact that publications like Forbes and Inc. Magazine are really desperate to find cutting edge companies in supply chain. Because we're a $1 trillion industry, and you know, as I think about it, I know you guys were top 50 on the Inc. 500. I know you guys have been like, you know, in the Forbes Best Startup Employers. What that all happens, one, with a great idea, but two, with a great team. Tell me a little bit about how you find people. You know, what are the traits that you look for as you're bringing folks into the organization?
Yeah, great. Thank you, first of all, and you're right. I mean, that's something I'm probably the most proud of, is we have built a great team. Our team has a lot of heart. You know, that's number one. They have to have heart. They have to care about what they're doing. And if we don't service our courier and carrier partners, our shippers, if we don't think about our customer's customer first, then we can't be successful. But it all starts with thinking about our own team first, because if we keep them happy, they can do everything else, right? They can keep everybody else happy. But we look for creative problem solvers, people that are willing to look at the industry and say, well, it doesn't need to work that way. You know, it can work a different way. And what I've done is I've really focused my recruiting efforts on executives that have built networks. So okay. Payment networks, media networks. You know, our business scales because of network effects.
Right.
So if we can build network effects, we can do something really little to no last mile companies have done, which is get real truly exciting unit economics. And that's really what we're obsessed with. And when you think about omnichannel, that's a crossroads of shopper marketing, supply chain, logistics, payments. It's this intersection of all these industries that haven't really intersected before. So when we're building out a network or building out a team, we like to have different ingredients. We want that person that's been in space for 20 years. We want that person maybe who's been in a marketing role but couldn't do what they wanted to do because supply chain team wouldn't listen, right? Sure. We want it all. So those are the things we're thinking about as we try to create value in space with our
sure. team. I love the way you position that, man. It's like S&OP on steroids that you're trying to create out there. I love it. It's really neat. For folks who don't know, S&OP is a sales and operations planning, and lots of larger organizations will kind of gather the stakeholders in a room to say, okay, marketing wants to push this particular initiative, which we think is going to lead to this number of sales. And in that case, we need X number of goods in each of these warehouses available for whatever. And it's basically a method and practice as to how to align inventory with the expected demand. And, you know, to Bill's point, adding in multiple components on top of that and that final home delivery is really, really interesting. Not a lot of folks are capable of doing that. Bill, if I look at the one where one rail roadmap, ooh, that was a mouthful. you know, what's next? What's the future? What are you looking at next?
You know, I think a question that comes up a lot is really what's our roadmap? What problem are we trying to solve? And I think we kind of started, you know, the call with that, but it's doing it in more places you know, it's building out this omni-channel suite of capabilities. And I think one of the bigger unaddressed opportunities is still really finding efficiency within returns. You know, for us, that's something that's on our horizon. And there's a lot of great companies out there that are solving pieces of that puzzle. I think the industry, by and large, when they're creating this Amazon experience, they're obsessed with getting it there from a forward standpoint. But yeah, nobody's really figured out the whole puzzle on returns yet. So I think there's still some big unanswered questions as to how that's going to work. I'd be lying if I said we had all the answers on returns yet. But for us, it's something we're thinking about. And I'm excited to see how returns evolves over the next few years.
So one of my favorite questions to ask every guest is, look, if you're talking to a new or recent college grad who's thinking about logistics, transportation, or supply chain as a career path, what's the piece of advice you'd give them?
I would say if you're somebody who wants to be in the literally the epicenter of the biggest topic of the day in commerce, it's how to fulfill more efficiently, more affordably, and more flexibly. You know, I wouldn't even just say faster. It's about accuracy and flexibility. And if you're looking to be challenged, you know, multidimensionally, mathematically, philosophically, human nature, this is a very exciting space. I think, you know, I go back to when I was in high school. Nobody really thought about recruiting you for supply chain. You know, I don't know if I really knew what supply chain was in high school. But college grads, you're starting to see a lot of college programs start to specialize in it, which is great. You know, University of Arkansas has been doing it a long time, but there's a lot of others now that are starting to add that curriculum. So I would say if you want to be at the epicenter of excitement around commerce, this is where it's at.
Bill, if people want to get in touch, where's the best place to find you?
You can always email. Bill.Catania, C-A-T-A-N-I-A, @onerail.com. You can always hit me on LinkedIn. And those are the two ways you can find me.
Awesome, man. I appreciate you being on the show. He's Bill Catania from OneRail. I'm Mike Bush. Thanks for listening, everybody.